Okay, welcome to podcast episode 8. It was supposed to be podcast episode 11. No, episode 10, but both my audios for the last two podcasts were deleted, so we need to start from scratch. We just recorded a podcast like 2 hours ago, and then it was an amazing podcast, and then we realized my audio didn't work, so we spent another hour just sitting there crying.
It was actually so good as well. It wasn't, I don't know, it was like by far the best one we'd done. Everything just went smoothly. Interesting chats. Got my mic now. Sounds brilliant. So yeah, I don't know, bit annoying, but oh well. We're doing it again. Second time lucky. Well, third time. Because we did another one in the week with our guest Joe. But that also, Max's audio didn't record on there, so you've got him to blame, basically.
Yep, it's all my fault. And that dodgy app which I was using on my iPhone. So, shout out to Voice Recorder, your shit.
yeah, exactly. You're going to get sued now, but
yeah, I hope not. They're right. Not that bad. It's just I probably don't know how to work it.
Probably. we're back. We all just, I'm sure we'll have interesting stuff to talk about. We always do.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Max, in the hour since I last spoke to you? Max is on a video chat and miming sub obscenities. So, yeah, I'm quite glad you can't see us at the moment.
I ate a bit of cake. So I just made blueberry, lemon and almond cake. Yeah, I made blueberry. Yeah, I might need to come off the chat, Hamish.
We're just distracting each other.
Yeah, so we've ah, oh, fuck. This is gonna be funny when we live together.
It'll be fine. Carry on. Blueberry.
Yeah, so I made almond. Blueberry, almond, and lemon cake. So it's got a lemon drizzle icing on it, which is tasty. Yeah, I used to bake quite a bit, but I haven't baked in ages, so I was like, it's rest day, active rest day, went for a run this morning, same with Hamish, and yeah, baked some food.
Yeah, we talked about running quite a bit in our first episode. I'd like to go over again. I don't think we covered everything, or I said everything I wanted to. So yeah, today, went for a run on a rest day, never done that before. So yeah, that was nice, and because it was like a full rest day, I could like take my time. So I went to a really nice like trail on the moors near my house. Well, not that near my house, a little drive out, and just yeah, had a really nice run for once. Instead of just running purely for training, it was like actually enjoyable. There's so much like benefits from running that you don't realize if you just see it as training. Like it's way deeper than that.
Benefits of running. Do you want to go deeper into that?
I do, Max. I do. Well, first of all, it's, well, I think everyone knows it's like physiologically good, like cardiovascular system, all of this, like physiological benefits. But on top of that, there's the like mental side. Like it's basically a moving meditation if you get in the right flow. Like today, when you're not just city running, you've not got any external stimuli like people running past you. I didn't really see anyone. There's no cars, just like on the moor on my own. And it was so nice. And like just really clears your head and allows you to think and just enjoy the moment instead of worrying about how long have I been running? Like, when do I need to get back? What do I need to do when I get home? So there's that, first of all, which people will notice within the first couple runs if they go. It's not like meditation. It takes a while to really get into it. With running, it's pretty instant. Like if you just go at a relaxed pace and enjoy it, it's going to benefit you massively. And then something else, like this morning, I don't have a route. Like I've never really been there before where I went, so I kind of just got lost a bit on purpose, just ran and didn't really remember exactly where I was going, didn't really know the way back, just to put myself in these like uncomfortable situations where you have to be problem solving on the fly, which just makes like situations, say you're in a competition environment, and it just makes that feel so much more comfortable when you're constantly pushing your comfort zone and expanding your sense of security. Like, if I can feel safe and, like, trust my own instincts when it's got, like, a greater risk than just having a bad competition, if I can trust that, like, completely, I can trust myself to, you know, climb this boulder. Like, at the end of the day, that's got no consequence, really, if I don't do it. So, just being able to have confidence in chaos and chaotic situations where you just got to figure shit out for yourself, that's something that I found with running, like, trail running and that sort of thing, where it's not just like, yeah, city running where you're just on the pavement. So yeah, that was something that I found really interesting, and I've been reading into a lot recently with ultra runners and their mindset and pushing through stuff, just really going deep inside your own head.
No, yeah, bro, it's like learning to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. I feel like that, like, ties into being able to just be bored as well, isn't it? And be, it's
exactly, yeah, like, for sure, when you're running, you're just with your own thoughts, and that's such a boring thing to some people. But as you just said, and do you want to expand on that? Like,
yeah, so with
like pushing through boredom,
like, it's so easy to just pick up your phone whenever, like, you're sitting there, you're like, oh, I'm bored, and you experience that for 1 second. Then you pick up your phone and you just scroll on Instagram, and you're just in this conscious stimulus and not really. Being bored isn't just another feeling, and it's part of life. So I feel like it's important to experience it and live it. And that is where you can really learn who you are and some of your ideas, and let some of your ideas come alive. Because if you're not bored, then I feel like, I have, like, when I'm doing nothing, sometimes I have my best ideas, do you not think? Or when you're meditating, yeah, sometimes you have these ideas. Like, every morning, I open my curtains, I take my pillow, don't worry, it's not my sleeping pillow, it's just a couch pillow, I put it on the floor, and I sit down, and I look out the window, and that's where I meditate. And it's quite nice, because I see all the trees outside. And I'm looking at the trees now, and they're just constantly moving. And for me, that reminds me every day that the world is forever changing. And just and that's like, gives me a big thing to be thankful for. And it just brings me down to earth, I feel.
And you go.
And I don't think I would feel that if I wasn't in that bored state.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, say when you're running, and sitting with your thoughts is such a important thing. Like, I read that the humanity's greatest problems stem from the fact that a man can't sit with his own thoughts for 30 minutes. And that's so true. And being able to push through that initial boredom, and as you say, not getting sidetracked by these distractions, because, yeah, they distract you from your boredom, but they also distract you from realizing some, like, insightful things about yourself and about the world that would arise if only you didn't pick up your phone. So yeah, it's definitely difficult, because social media has been designed to be so
addictive.
Exactly, yeah, that's the perfect word for it. It's so addictive, and it just wants your attention constantly, and that's basically the whole goal of, like, software developers and, like, app developers, is to capture your attention. So of course it is going to be difficult to resist, but once you figure out how to, as you were saying, like, through meditation, like, you don't have your phone on when you're meditating, you're not looking at it then. If you just set a time to do it, or you set a time to go for a run, it's just forcing you to sit with your thoughts, and yeah, it's definitely powerful.
And being able to be conscious about picking up your phone, and when you pick it up, you're like, oh, I'm scrolling again. That's you realizing, and that's you reaching a new level, I guess, of consciousness, or in our meditative, like, levels. So say it's like a white belt, the first thing you start realizing you're scrolling on your phone heaps and you're not using all your time productively. Or for me, it's not about using my time productively, but if I'm on my phone scrolling just through Instagram constantly, I'm not experiencing life. And that's just, for me, we only have one life, so it's just a waste in my opinion. But that is like that's a start to them realizing why you sometimes feel some emotions, like why you begin to be annoyed at certain things. And realizing picking up your phone is like the first stage of that. Do you agree? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what I'm saying. I think it comes back to what you just said a couple minutes ago about looking at the trees and realizing that everything changes, nothing's permanent, the good, the bad, all of it is transient and it will shift and change and you can't do anything about it. Because I think people expect their internal conditions to be stable, like to be different from the outside world. They think they're somehow separate from nature, even though they're like completely part of it. And like, if you're angry, you think you're always going to be angry. If you're bored, you think you're always going to be bored. You don't realize that it changes, and if you just sit with it, interesting stuff happens. You don't need to constantly distract yourself and move away from the stuff that naturally arises within you.
Yeah. I almost had a thought, like you almost triggered. We just filmed a podcast and it was so good, and I feel like we're kind of wanting to say, make it that, like for me, I'm kind of in my mind, it's just always thinking about that podcast we just filmed. And then I feel like this right now is a good test of, okay, we always speak about being mindful and living in the present. So if we're in the present right now, we need to just let go of that podcast which we just filmed and just focus right now on this and making this as good as it is or can be, instead of comparing it to what could have been of that podcast. I think
100%. Like, you never know what's going to happen with everything. You just pick a path and you follow it. Like, with everything, you can't know if this podcast would have been better than the last one, or the last one would have got more views or whatever. But yeah, the last one was really good, and I think we both were a bit like disappointed that we weren't able to share it, just because we thought we had some good thoughts ourselves. But I definitely learned stuff, and I want to like say that again. But I guess whatever we say is going to come out at some point. Like, those lessons that I've got from that podcast have been internalized, and they'll come out at some point, whether it's through this or not, or another media or whatever. So yeah, just do the best with the situation.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, we're always gonna have interesting stuff to talk about,
because we're interesting guys, isn't it?
I like to think so.
I hope so.
I can't even remember what we spoke about, really. Just
I wrote not neither, but I remember some like topics and stories. But yeah, so what? Yeah. I'll speak about my little story from this morning. So I woke up. So I was gonna bake a cake. I told you I baked a cake, and then so in the morning I didn't have any icing sugar, so I was like, oh, I'm sure you can make icing sugar just from like caster sugar and milk. So I tested that out because I don't want to bake a cake and then not have icing sugar. So that was a bit annoying. That would have been annoying. So I made icing sugar out of sugar milk, and it was peng, it was fine. And then I had quite a bit of icing sugar left, so I was just like, okay, what am I gonna do with this? So basically, I ate icing sugar for breakfast, put on some rich tea biscuits, and I was hyper. Like, I was bouncing off the walls. I FaceTimed Sammy and Steven, and oh my god, I was just rowdy. Like, setting my hair on fire.
Rowdy.
Mark,
literally setting your hair on fire.
Yeah, I was just sitting there with a lighter, because Mark got me a lighter so I can light my incense, and I'm burning one right now. Some white sage. Smells pretty nice. But yeah, I was just sitting there.
Shaman Max.
I was just sitting there, and I was like, yo, look at this. And I just sparked it up, and my hair went. I don't know. I tend to do some silly stuff. Like when I was a kid, I literally have no idea why I did some stuff I did. But I feel like I was just so curious. That's a good word. And then yeah. So this is a good story. I was just sitting down with my dad's really posh pen. You know what? You know a quill, like.
Yeah.
You know that.
Oh God, I'm nervous for this.
This like the end of a quill is quite pointy and it looks nice and it. Do you have that picture in your head?
I know the one.
Okay, so it's
yeah,
kinda,
that little metal tip. Yeah.
Yeah, that metal tip. So it was a pen with that, and I was just sitting there on the sofa, and I was just looking at my knee. Okay, I swear I don't know what pain was at this point. So I'm just looking at my knee and I have a pen in my hand. And I did not hesitate at all. And I just stabbed. I really stabbed my knee. And the pen burst. Ink went everywhere. My knee started gushing of blood. And as soon as the pen hit my knee, I screamed. Like I was in tears. And my dad and family must have been thinking, who is this kid? You know?
Psychopath, Christ.
Yeah, but to you.
I wonder what pain feels like.
No, but you know. I don't know why I did that. Like, I remember it so vivid as well. Like, literally, I was just looking down at my knee. I was like, okay. Boom. Yeah, I don't know.
I think most people that stab themselves probably remember it quite well, Max. I think that's normal.
But I guess, like, when you're a kid, everything you do or everything you experience, the good and the bad, shape you to be the human being that you will become in it. So
yeah, like we talked about with Jim when we all licked an electric. Well, I licked an electric fence. That's pretty much the same as stabbing myself with a quill.
Yeah.
That was just curiosity.
licking an electric fence. Oh my god, that's funny. But yeah, like, do you remember this is another silly story of Max being an idiot. Do you remember these Zorbies? Like, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They were, like,
I know the one.
Plastic things, and you, like, flipped them, and then drop them on the floor.
Yeah.
They hit the floor and pop up. So, then again, me being...
Accident waiting to happen. That's an eye out.
Oh, mate. I'm lucky I still have my eye. I popped it. I put it against my eye. Eye open. Just sitting there, standing there. It pops. Like, straight in my eye, bro, my eyeball, and I don't know how my retina didn't explode, but I, then again, screamed like a bitch, started crying, and I had a bloodshot eye for about 2 weeks, but.
I'm sure there's so much trauma I've had that I've just forgotten, probably head injuries.
Yeah.
I remember once I ran full pelt into a glass door, and I swear I had concussion. So long, fuck! Just like no hesitation at all. Didn't see it.
Did you not see
full
it?
Pelt. No, just like that wasn't curiosity. That was just stupidity.
that
was just like
so this
full on fucking.
This is the difference between me and Hamish. Hamish didn't know the glass door was there, but I probably even knowing the glass door was there, would have ran into it.
That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. But yeah, I think I've also done a lot of stupid things. I think we both have.
Yeah.
Yeah, make us. Being curious about stuff, not scared to take risks, seeing what's happening, you know, learning all the time.
Yeah. And I feel like it's important to, like, it's so important to make mistakes and fuck up and learn from them. Like, I'll never, like, stab myself again. You know what I mean? And I learned that from such a young age. Well, that sounds weird, but
that just sounds quite weird.
But you know what I mean, like, life lessons. You do something once, it doesn't go well, you realize, and you don't go again. And if you do,
and you're tricking yourself if you think everything's going to go perfect. Like, you're going to have good times and bad times, and it's just learning from those. Like, you either win or you lose.
Yeah.
And no, that's not the right phrase. You either win or you learn.
And if you're not learning, then you're losing.
You're losing, exactly. That's either win, you lose, or you learn. There we go, yeah. But for sure, like, everyone's going to have, like, major bad times. You're going to stab themselves with the metaphorical pen. And it's just whether you learn from that. So next time you've got your dad's expensive quill in your hand, you don't choose to stab it in your knee and ruin the carpet.
Or ruin your knee.
This episode is a lot less focused than the last one, I think.
Yeah, but you said something what triggered a thought in my head. You said we're all in our... if you think everything's going to be so perfect, you, like, tricked yourself. Is that what you said? Mm. You're tricking yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like... So, one thing about being, like, reaching the level of consciousness or exploring my mind or whatever is that I feel like I've accepted death a lot more than I have done. And I, for me, I've avoided that quite a bit because, obviously, my mum passed away of cancer. And for me, I tried to just brush it off and just be like, yeah, okay. And some, like, I didn't really deal with it, and it led to me kind of trying to just forget about her even existing, okay? But that's the biggest life lesson I feel like you can learn from losing someone, is that nothing is permanent. Everything's going to live and die, and everything's constantly changing. And that leads me to live the life I want to live now and be fully committed in my sport, and I just want to do things that make me happy and be creative for myself. And I was having this thought, I was just standing in the kitchen, and you don't feel like you're gonna get old. Like, you're in your body right now, and I feel like we're all in this trance, and we're just, you don't feel like tomorrow you're going to get old, and the next day you're going to get old, and one day you're not going to be able to pick up a pen and go for runs and stuff like that. But you are, and being aware to that is just important, so you don't waste your life, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's something everyone knows. No one doubts the fact that things die and things get old. But yeah, everyone, as you were just saying, when you were younger, are in denial of that. And when you're in fear of something that's inevitable, it's like you're running away from something that you're constantly approaching. Like, you're trying to get away from something that, like, you're only ever moving towards.
Yeah.
So I think, like, death in general and the, like, shortness of life and how everything is constantly changing and moving on is the biggest motivation to do anything. Like, without that, there's not a chance I would be pushing myself as much as I am. Like, because you could just do it in another 100 years. So yeah, I think, why fear something? Or why is it such a taboo when it's so precious? And without it, like, society would be nothing like it is today. We would be nothing like we are. We'd have done nothing like we currently do. So yeah, when it's one of the biggest, like, tools to be able to harness and to push yourself through knowing and the knowledge that one day you won't be able to, it's, yeah, I don't know why it's something that everyone is so scared to talk about or so scared to accept, really, not just talk about, so scared to internalize that your current state, as I was saying earlier, is not permanent. Yeah, in the microcosmic sense that your feelings aren't permanent, they change, but also in the grander sense that life itself is not permanent, and everyone knows that, but no one lives like they do.
And that's why it's so, that's why life is so worth living in it and so beautiful, because if it was just perfect, or you could do anything, or, well, you can, but you know what I mean? Like, if it was, you could live for eternity, It wouldn't be a game. It wouldn't be the fun game. You wouldn't care. You get bored. It's like Minecraft. You don't die. If you know, on Minecraft, in mode where you're like on God.
Like creative, yeah. I don't know what.
Creative mode, and you're just going about. You have all the tools. You have all the blocks. You have everything. You can have all the diamond armor. All of it. Mate, I play that for about 2 minutes and I'm bored. You know what I mean? So imagine if life, you had everything. It would just, it wouldn't be a fun game, so.
That's a very, very good analogy. Surprisingly good, and I've never heard it before.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot.
I made it up right now, bro.
Ooh, when we're writing a book, Max. When we're writing a fucking book.
I know.
That was nice.
Cheers.
What would we call a book?
What would we call a book?
Building Blocks of Life or something. Mm. I don't know. Yeah, that's so true. Like, only when there is the danger is it worth living. I guess that's why, like, I've heard people say the time they felt most alive is either when they've just survived or are going through a near-death experience or just witnessed it. That's, like, the time when they feel the most full of life is when they've seen how close the edge is.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I've never really experienced it that much, but I guess.
I wonder if we have.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, without knowing, like, I wonder what the closest. I don't know. I guess we talked about the gym as well. I'm just thinking about that.
Yeah, we did. But.
But that's mad. Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying before though, like. Now, like, I can see you're confident, you're like, you're absolutely fine talking about your mum, and that's something that I'm sure, like, however many years ago, 10 years ago, or 5 years ago even, you probably weren't so, like, confident in talking about.
Yeah, man.
Because you still hadn't internalized it to yourself, you still hadn't accepted it, even though
I don't feel my family really spoke about it that much either, like. My dad and Rachel and I, we don't really speak about it that much, but more now it comes up in conversation a bit more, and it's not as awkward, and I feel like maybe all of us just don't want to say something which would harm each other, you know what I mean? Or start the conversation, and then the other one feels uncomfortable, but I feel like it's so important to have that conversation.
Yeah, and it's one of the most difficult things like that no one would wish upon anyone are the things you learn the most from, and I've never been unfortunate enough to like lose someone that close to me, and I'm forever, like, I'm so grateful for that. Like, I'm not saying in any way that I would want that or anyone would want that, but it's the greatest things like that. It's like the most emotional, like, things that impact you the most that you can learn the most from. Like, that's just how it works. The biggest lessons are usually the most painful things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's using the opportunity, finding the silver lining in every scenario to grow yourself instead of staying in this permanence where nothing changes. Just using.
Yeah, it's not
every opportunity that's presented.
It's not fun being comfortable, is it?
No.
Like I said,
it's definitely.
You just get bored, man. Get bored.
Yeah. Yeah, you can talk about this a little bit. We spoke about this last time, but there's something, what I said before, which I would, like, I think I should say again, is that I was reading in this book called Silence by Erling Karg, and he was a Arctic explorer who was trekking Arctic conditions for 50 days on his own in complete white, pretty much. He couldn't see much. There was nothing too interesting around him, just with his own thoughts, walking for 50 days. And he was writing about silence and the importance of it and how it's neglected. And the one quote that stuck out to me that I remember is that on the other side of on the other side of boredom is bliss. And I think it's so true, so underappreciated by everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And that book sounds mad. I really want to read it. But what you just said about, you know, we spoke about death is a big topic and people are scared of that. I feel like people are scared of silence as well. Like, if you think about it, if you commit a big crime and you go to jail, you go to jail with a load of people. And if you're in jail and you cause a riot, you're going to solitary confinement and you're there alone. And that's where people go crazy, innit? When they're alone and they can't deal with that silence, which you went on about.
Yeah, I don't think it's the silence. I think it's the person. Like, if you put a monk in a solitary confinement, you know, they're going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nothing to be... I think people are scared of it because they're scared of themselves in some way and because they've been conditioned to seek distractions. But when you're constantly... like, when you're fearing your own thoughts and not just accepting them for what they are, when you're constantly like, judging what you think, and that's what happens when you're on your own, like when you're on a run, say, as I was talking about before, if you're running for an hour with nothing to think about but whatever's in your own head with no external stimuli, or you're meditating or whatever you're doing where it's just you and your thoughts, you learn quite a lot about yourself. And I think quite a lot of people don't want to explore their mind because they're scared of what they'll find, because they think they'll be the only one with those thoughts, with those worries.
Yeah,
I think the first step in that is just to accept that it's not going to be too pretty, some of your thoughts, like you're just a mess of chemicals and hormones and all of that. You can't really control what you think. And then once you've accepted that, like, just getting over the initial hump of boredom to see the bliss on the other side.
Mate, you know what you speak about, controlling your thoughts? Yesterday when I was in Aldi on my food shop, oh my god, my mind was racing. I don't even know what I was doing. I'm just pushing the trolley, getting my shopping, getting my ingredients for baking my cake. And people are idiots. Like, they're coming up in my face, and it's supposed to be a 2 meter distance or whatever. Keep your 2 meter distance. Stay safe out there, everyone. And I'm just sitting there, and my mind is just like judging everyone, and I'm just taking the piss in my head. And like, some of my thoughts are just coming out, and it was so funny. I was having like the best time in my life. I was just like speaking to myself, basically. It was quite funny, but yeah, it sounds a bit weird, but.
No, I know. I do that all the time. I don't think it's a good thing how much I judge people. Like, that's the thing that I would change if I could, is, well, I can, but I just need to dedicate some time to it. It's not like judging people so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you were saying before in the last episode, that guy you were reading, what's his name? Osho or something.
Osho.
That's the guy. Some old guy. Is he Buddhist?
I think he's like, Buddhist monk or something like cool like that. But
yeah,
he's wrote heaps of books. I think, did he write The Ego's the Enemy? I think he might have wrote that.
I can't remember exactly.
And this book about being creative as well. Mm-hmm. And some other books.
I was sent a, like, a paragraph that he'd written in a book, and it was saying that, like, you project your own insecurities or what you think is worst about you onto other people, and that's what you judge them for. So if I'm judging someone for being annoying, it's probably because I think other people find me annoying. Or, like, yeah, you're constantly, like, projecting your own image onto someone else.
Yeah.
And then getting angry about it. And I think that's not entirely true, but definitely to some extent, there's like truth in that. Like, if you're always thinking about what other people are thinking of you, then you're going to see that in other people and gonna, you know, judge them for it.
Yeah, for sure. That's mad. And something I want you to speak about is, so why have you started to clean your room, Hamish?
Yeah. Well, for the last however many years, my room has not been too clean. I mean, it's not been horrible, but it's not been, you know, it's not been organized at all. It's like I'd clean it most weeks, but then it would always revert back to a state of chaos, and not without my parents' effort of trying to get me to clean and tell me how important it is to have a clean room and a clean mind and all that. So yeah, I was recently, after this many years of thinking, okay, it doesn't really matter, like, my mind's pretty clear, like, I'm all good, I don't really need a clean room, when it really wasn't. And I was listening to something, and I was listening to Carl Jung, who's a psychologist, or someone explaining his teachings, and they were saying about how, like, first of all, the first thing you need to understand is that everything you see in the outside world, let's just say my bedroom, that is, exists as much in your mind as it does in the real world, because it's the light coming off there that's getting interpreted by your brain and then converted into an image in your head. Like, it exists inside of your head as much as it does out there. It's not just physical, they're not separate, they're completely intertwined, like, your perception of it and the actual thing. So if you are looking at a clean room, that clean room is in your head. And if you're looking at a chaotic room, that chaotic room is in your head. And a chaotic room is going to lead to chaotic thoughts, because you've got clutter in your head. Like, it's not organized. If there's something in your room that's out of place, or you know shouldn't be there or anything, that's just getting internalized, that you're getting sloppy, you're not doing everything. In climbing terms, you're not going to complete every rep because you can't be bothered to make your bed or whatever. So yeah, I've been convinced now to, like, not just convinced, because I truly believe it now. Like, it's not just, I'm just doing it because someone's told me to, because I never really did that. Like, when my parents would tell me to tidy my room, I'd do it, but I would never keep it tidy, just because I didn't have the knowledge of why I was doing it. I'm not one who just follows instructions because I've been told to do that. So yeah, now I understand why, and it makes sense to me. I'm going to obviously do it. And already I feel, even just the small acts, like, I'll see something on the floor that shouldn't be there, and instead of just pushing it to the side or whatever, I'll actually put it in its correct position, like I would do with a thought. Now, if I see a rogue thought in my head while I'm meditating, I won't just leave it there and let it simmer and lead to other thoughts that probably aren't healthy. I will deal with it, I'll think about it, and then I'll take what I want from it, and then I will never need to think about it again. So yeah, that's my cleanliness advice for the day.
I kind of led on to, like, I kind of led up, like, similar to my mum, innit? Because that came up, and I would just push that off to the side. And then same with your room, but mine is internal thoughts, where yours was external mess.
Exactly, but as we were just saying, they're all intertwined. So
yeah,
for sure, your internal thoughts from there were probably reflected externally.
Yeah,
like, say you've got a cluttered mind because you're just pushing stuff to the side, so you don't tidy your room. Whereas mine might have been the other way around. I don't tidy my room, which leads to that, and it's just this never-ending cycle of cluttered mind, cluttered room, cluttered mind. So yeah, just breaking that cycle through, personally, is just this one insight of actually explaining it instead of just telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm. And I loved that when you told me that this morning. I got so psyched, because he was speaking about seeing your room, it's in your head. And then I was like, oh, so if when I'm touching, it's not even the touch isn't like what it feels like, it's the neurons in your fingers that lead up to your brain, and then the brain makes that feeling, and it's all, yeah, it just blew my mind, and I was so excited.
And it sounds like hippie shit, like, it's in your head, like, no, obviously it isn't, it's my desk that I'm touching is definitely on the floor, but, like, if you ask any, like, biologist, I'll say, yeah, well, you touch it, and then, like, the Purkinje corpuscles, which are a type of receptor in your finger, will disform, and that'll open the sodium ion channels or whatever, and it'll send an impulse to your brain, And then it's that impulse that is converted into a conscious image of the object that you're touching. So it's not just like it's completely like woo-woo ideas, our guy Joe Rogan would say. It's like a concrete thing, and you can't really argue with the fact that everything you experience, you're experiencing in your own head. Like, that's obvious. You know, it's like the whole thing, if a tree fell in an empty forest, would it make a sound? It's kind of that sort of principle.
It would make a sound.
Like, it would make a sound, but
no one would hear it.
Well,
wouldn't make a sound.
You can argue that it wouldn't make a sound very convincingly, because, okay, define to me what sound is, Max.
Impulses for sounds.
Yeah, okay, well, sound to me is, okay, say I make a sound, say I hit the desk like that.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it because I'm hitting the desk, it's deforming, and it's sending vibrations in the air to my ears, and then they're going into my ears, and then the sound is not the vibrations in the air, they're just vibrations in the air. The sound is me understanding what the vibrations mean, and
yeah,
it's my ears that make the sound, that convert the vibrations into a sound. It's not the vibrations itself. So if there's nothing to hear it, is there going to be a sound, or is it just going to be like wavy air?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the trees, and the trees are moving. And if I went out to the trees, I would hear them moving, but I'm not hearing them moving right now. Mm-hmm. So I guess they're probably not making a sound. They're just...
You'll never know, though. That's the thing. That's like the great thing. There is, it's in two states. Like, yeah, it would make a sound if you were there, but you're not there, so you'll never know. Like, it's not to say that the desk doesn't exist in the physical world. It's to say that, like, my whole room exists as much in my head as it does the outside world. Now, I'm not saying if I wasn't here, my room would disappear, obviously. I'm saying that because I'm here, my interpretation of it is in my head, not that the room is in my head.
Mm-hmm. There's some confusing and hard things to get around your head, I feel. I feel like everything we spoke about now has just been like hard-hitting topics, which is quite hard to deal with. And
yeah, for sure.
But when you deal with them, it's rewarding.
Isn't it? Yeah, massively. It's just taking the time, like, yeah, that's pretty much it. As the, I guess the theme of this sort of episode is taking the time to deal with whatever you got to deal with instead of just letting it happen to you.
Yeah, because I remember when I feel like this. So when my dad told me, like, sat me and my sister down and just said, okay, so, mum, we knew that my mum had cancer, but then there was a chance she was going to live or whatever, and then we got told that she had a specific time to live, and she was going to die. Then, as soon as I got told that, I was like, can I go out and play? You know what I mean? Instead of dealing with it, I was like, okay, let's just go outside. But then I went out to my mate's house, Cameron. Big up Cameron Visit. Absolute big man. I thought about this a lot. Like, I messaged him the other day, and I was just like, he was like one of my childhood best mates. And me and him grew up together, just playing football, going out, playing the Xbox, me and him fighting all the time, climbing on trees. Oh, this is a funny story. So was it snowing? I think it was snowing, or we were at this tree house. So we called it a tree house, but it was just a tree. It wasn't a tree house, but we just called it a tree house, and we just climbed this tree. And then it had these like apples coming off the tree. Now remember, we picked them up and we were throwing them at cars. And that's not a good thing to do. I don't recommend throwing stuff at cars. But yeah, and then we would just people would come out their cars and chase us or whatever. Maybe it was exciting at the time, I don't know. And then I hit my dad's car was driving past and I hit my dad's car. And then he was like, he phoned me and he was just like, "Oh, what are you chucking off cars?" I'm like, "What are you on about? I'm not chucking anything off cars. We're just playing." And he's like, "Yeah, you just hit my car." And I was like, "Oh my god." So, yeah. I guess that's... I don't know where I was leading on to that, but I thought it was a funny story.
I like that, thank you.
But yeah, me and Cameron, we grew up together doing crazy, crazy funny shit. And I thought about it, like, if me and him didn't meet and didn't grow up together, we'd probably be two different individuals than we are right now. And that's mad that people who... I don't live in the same country as him anymore. But he was such a big part in my young childhood, like, lessons and upbringing, who made me who I am. And same with good experiences, bad experiences, like everything we go through, it's just building this person who you want to be or who you think you want to be. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, and like...
What are you saying?
You go.
No,
I was just saying... Oh, you go.
Sorry. I kind of missed up that story. So I started off that story with... Yeah, me going outside to play because I didn't want to...
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So he was the person... I went to his house. I just went to his house and then I just told him and his mum. And I fully just broke down and started crying. And I just remember his mum gave me the biggest hug ever. And yeah, it's so important to have people like that in your life who you can just speak to. And I feel like maybe subconsciously, that's where I needed to go to get that comfort. Because I didn't want to show that show that emotion to my family, I don't think. And added that stress or awkwardness to them. But yeah, I feel like it's definitely important to deal with them emotions, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe that's a more extreme form of what you were saying earlier about avoiding the subject. And like, everyone does this with something, stuff you just don't want to confront people about, so you just bury it down.
Yeah.
And forget that everyone else is probably having the same thought as you and experiencing the same shit as you to some level. And it's way better to talk about it, whatever it is. Like, instead of either lying about something or how you feel or just simply ignoring it and not talking about it, it's way easier to recognize that everyone else is experiencing some degree of what you are. And once one person opens up about it, it's probably going to be a lot easier for everyone else too.
Yeah, man.
Much love.
Much love to you as well. And I believe, I feel like I believe this, you know. I had this thought when I was meditating, and so we all breathe the same air, and we're all made up of the same things, the atoms, they make up the earth, they make up my bedding, the things I'm sitting on, the laptop, which is on my bed, the pencil in my hand. Don't worry, I'm not going to stab myself with the pencil either. Yeah, I feel like we're all made up of the same things, and what I am is also what Hamish is, and we forget that.
Fucking beast.
Yeah, we're all absolute beasts, and we're all this animal, and but it's like we're in this. We're all connected, and I feel like we forget that we're connected, or people don't even know we're connected. And if I treat, like I said, if I treat Hamish in a mean way or an arrogant way, then that's basically treating myself in that way.
And we got far more in common. Not just us, obviously we've got loads in common, but any human has far more in common than we seem to recognise. Like, Everyone treats each other as if they're a totally different person, or people from different countries, a different species. Like, it's only like that because we've created such like small boundaries for what we call friends, instead of just, and the, yeah, like, I don't really speak to that many people outside of my, so like, friendship group. I don't really speak to many people who aren't climbers or didn't go to the same school as me, not because I don't have access to them with the internet now. I can speak to anyone anywhere, but I generally stay inside this bubble, and that everyone does that, and that probably contributes to people feeling like they have to belong to a specific group instead of remembering that, like, you already do, and it's people.
Yeah, like, oh, I almost had a good train of thought. I was about to say some magic shit, but then the words didn't come up my head. So, let me think. Fuck.
I would fill the time without distracting you even more.
This happens all the time to me. Like, my head's just too... Okay, let me think. Sorry. Have we been filming for 53 minutes?
Apparently so. I'm not too sure how, but yeah.
What were we even speaking about? That's mad.
I don't know. We've just been rambling.
Yeah. Did we speak about anything good?
No. Nothing.
Shit. Okay.
It's been shit, yeah. Let's hope this one didn't record.
Oh, what did you just say?
This morning's one was so much... but I think we're a lot less sleepy. I'm not sure what I just said, Max, honestly.
Yeah.
Just about people being way more connected than we act.
I don't know what.
I know.
Yeah.
But like, if we got invaded by aliens or something, or kangaroos or whatever, I don't know. Like, if we just got invaded by another species, then, like, all humanity was under threat, then we would definitely group together way more than we do now. Like, we'd feel like we're one, and, like, us against them. Because that's what everyone's mindset seems to be, is, like, us against them, instead of just us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you need an opposition to have an identity, but... And that's probably why we invent sports and... like games like that, like, just so we have a tribe to belong to. Although we should have evolved, we should have outgrown our evolutionary need to have a tribe and to have war and competition over resources, because we don't need that anymore. Everyone's so privileged compared to how we used to be, so it's a bit ridiculous that we're still living in a time where we feel the need to create our own warfare and shit like that.
Yeah, man. Violence, that's mad, isn't it?
Just stop being violent, guy.
I like...
I'm gonna end all war.
I like this. I like MMA. That's sick. But that's different. If they're fighting, obviously, some fighters, like Israel Adesanya, we speak about him heaps. Well, we don't. I speak about him heaps. He says he's not a violent person. He got into fighting because he was getting bullied and he wanted to defend himself. And he saw...
like George St. Pierre,
yeah,
I guess.
And he saw it as a big game. And it's like, it's kind of like chess. It's two people against one. Well, two people get off one person. But
start again.
Two people against each other.
I like to see 2v1 MMA.
two people against each other, okay? And it's like... you're doing moves, and if you hit this combination, you could knock that guy out and win. You know what I mean? It is like playing chess, in a way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and there's a difference between that, because obviously, if it's so rooted in us that we need to compete, like, I think it is.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really avoid that. Like, we're kind of made to compete. That's the only way we survived, is by being better than the other person. So we do need to do that. I think that's why we have war in general. Like, what I don't get is, okay, take a war. Say, like, two countries are, like fighting, and they solve it with a big war, and there's loads of deaths. That's just another form of game, just to see who's better at killing people. Why don't you just see who's better at, like, football or chess? Like, it's so arbitrary to choose who's better at killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you could just settle it over something else, you'd have the same result. It would just see which country is better at this one specific thing. You know, people wouldn't die.
Yeah,
like MMA, that's just a expression of that, which is pretty harmless generally, which is great. Like climbing is, it's putting yourself against nature and putting yourself against other people, seeing who emerges on top, and that's great. Like, it's just puts us in this more natural state where we are competing, we're taking risks, all of that, but without any like side effects or any negative side effects.
Yeah, I miss competing. I do. Mm-hmm. Competitions are just, it's a mad thing, isn't it? Like, it's the feelings you get from being in that stressful situation and just standing under the boulder and looking at it and just being so confident that you're going to do it, and you just go up and get it done. The judge gives you your scorecard, I put it in my chalk bag, you go behind the wall, you rest for 5 minutes or however long it is, and then you just do that a few times. Then you make it through to the next round. It's crazy, but it's so crazy, much fun.
And it's, yeah. Yeah. It really is. It's humbling sometimes. It's, you know, you get a lot of like experience from competing that you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah, I thought about this, yeah. And but yeah, I also get so much experience from just living life, which we necessarily don't live the normal life, which other people do. So we're not going to experience some things which may, or a lot of the listeners who are listening right now will experience, because we're always just in that training venue doing the same day in, day out, hoping for that outcome of winning the competition, doing the hard boulder, doing the hard route or whatever. And that's what made me go on my podcast cleanse. So Mark said to me like last week that I should take a break from all this listening to podcasts, reading all this factional stuff, and just trying to constantly better myself for my performance basically, and I should just concentrate on being me and living my life and just having, yeah, just expressing myself as a person instead of constantly trying to change myself. Whereas kids, all we was being ourselves. Like, you used to paint and draw so much stuff, and you would just draw some random shit and it didn't make sense, but you were just putting stuff down. And I feel like we lose that with our society, and we just fall into this pool of these ideas of who we should be and become that label of falling into that group of friends who wear tracksuits and blah blah blah, or you go with the hipsters, or you go with the emos or whatever it is. Like, you fall into these labels instead of just being your own person. And yesterday it was quite funny, I was in the kitchen with Ellie and Mark, and my hair is pretty long and shaggy, and I've been doing all this meditation and all this stuff, and Ellie's like, Max, you look like a hippie. Then I was there in a full tracksuit, and she's calling me a hippie, and I'm just like, I'm a hippie up here and a chav down here. And I thought it was quite funny. And it's just, yeah, I feel like I am expressing myself and being who I am. And just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think through climbing, like when it's so instinctual, you're on the wall, like you're so in the moment, you don't have time to think about what other people are thinking of you when you're pushing yourself to your limit. Like with any art, or like with being a kid or a dog or whatever, like when you're so in the moment that you neglect what other people think of you, don't necessarily need an image to define you, then you can reverse some of the damage done, and you have a nice time off from that, from being assigned to a group. And I think anyone who climbs or exercises, which hopefully is everyone pretty much, will get some relief from that, just in the, even if it's just a couple minutes when you're running, at the end of your run, you're too tired to think about what other people are thinking of you. Like, it's in those very moments that you learn the most about yourself. And as with the bliss... Okay, so... But as with the bliss thing that I was talking about earlier, with the boredom and the bliss, it's pushing through those, like, the hardest times, like, all the boredom. Like, just for those few moments where you truly learn about yourself and you truly learn about the world. Like, you can't really argue that it's not worth it once you've experienced it to some degree. And, like, with, this is what Joe Zavaris was saying, who was supposed to be on last week, but again, Max's audio didn't work, and he's not here now, so I can say whatever I like about him. Joe was saying, like, we're talking about meditation, all of this, just off, not in the podcast, just me and him were chatting about it on FaceTime one day, and he was saying that it's like you're born as a blank canvas to some degree, and life paints on it, society, social pressure, all of that, everyone you meet paints onto that canvas, and it gets messy, it gets, you know, covered in paint, and then you can, if you choose to, through meditation, or it's weird to say through exercise, you can paint over that again in white. You can blank the canvas to some degree, where you're reverting back to this natural state of being, and you don't need all of that. You just reverse the damage that's been done to you by years of judging yourself on others' points of view of you.
I'm back.
I know, I heard.
I heard the last bit which you were speaking about. It sounded pretty good.
Yeah. Just what I was saying about, we talked about it a bit before, about what Joe was saying with the blank canvas and...
Yeah.
Like, through meditation, healing the damage that's been done to you.
And just, it makes you realise who you actually are, isn't it? And the thoughts you're having, and... Yeah. You're painting that white slate over yourself.
Exactly. Alright. Do you think that's it? Do you think we've done it successfully? Third time lucky without your audio not recording?
I think we have. I hope so. I hope this...
Is there anything else you want to say? I just kind of ended a bit abruptly then.
No, I think it's good.
Yeah.
Do you think it's... Yeah, I think it's went well. It's quite annoying how we had these really good topics, which we kind of didn't get on to because, I don't know, we were speaking about some new stuff and what we said before. Yeah, the other podcast, it was good, but I'm sure we'll be able to speak about that stuff in the next one or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so... thanks for listening anyway. Hopefully this one's all good. Maybe it's not as good. We're a bit tired now, but it's all chill. So just give us feedback. It means so much. Like this. It'll be on YouTube now and on Spotify and Anchor. So just, yeah, big up. Share it, whatever it means. Like, so much. It has a massive impact, and we'll keep doing them if, like, people are enjoying them. We'll definitely keep doing them. And yeah, anything you want to say, Max?
I've got one thing to add. So, me and Hamish, we're thinking about doing a joint vlog. So he films his training, I film mine training, and we put that video together, and we'll just release a clip of us, well, a video on YouTube of me and Hamish's day, basically. And if you want that to be released and dropped, then what do you want? What should we ask for?
On our Instagram, which is at the @projection_podcast. If you give us a follow, and we'll post a photo, and if it gets, what should we say, 200 likes?
I think that's a good number.
200. If it gets 200 likes, then we will be sure to do this little project. And yeah, we're gonna keep putting out content, podcasts. If you want and you like our posts, we'll be doing vlogs and Instagram lives and yeah, live board sessions and whatever. You can make us problems to do. So yeah, just give us a follow on the Instagram. We'll update you on all of that and which guests are coming on. You can give us questions to talk about in next episode.
Yeah, so like, share, subscribe, and I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And we have enjoyed filming it twice.
Sweet. See you in a bit, Max. I've heard too much of your voice today.
Yeah, no. I was supposed to go outdoor climbing, but oh well. Okay.
Oh well.
Thanks for listening, and once again, peace.
Peace, bro.